And we welcome you in to the Back Table podcast, originating today from Bar 31 in Vestavia, 1485 Montgomery Highway. Best meat and veggies over the mountain. I'm Boji Wood, joined by Pat Patrick.
Man, my catfish was wonderful. I enjoyed it. You know.
It was, and also former CFL, NFL quarterback Dieter Brock. We're going to be talking about several subjects over the course of the show.
But Mr. Noto. I just want to say hello to Mr. Noto. Lewis Noto, known all over Vestavia Hill. No question about it.
And we're going to be talking a lot of sports, but the Back Table is not only going to be sports as we move forward. We're going to have some musicians on, local politicians, and just kind of get the pulse of what's going on over the mountain here in Birmingham, Alabama.
Okay, well, I tell you what, the food was good. The place is real good. The people are good right here. John and John are in the kitchen. They know how to cook that catfish.
They do. We need to thank Eddie Weber and his son Jake running the place. And I think we all had the catfish for lunch today. And it is, I mean, again, their slogan is best meat and veggies over the mountain. It's kind of hard to argue with that, isn't it?
I think so. You know, of course, they have entertainment down here on the weekends at Razzmatazz Friday and Saturday night. But this is one of the best places to eat lunch that I know of.
All right, let's go ahead, guys, and let's just get right into last night's game, the national championship game between the Alabama Crimson Tide and the Ohio State Buckeyes. Alabama 52, Ohio State 24. Nick Saban gets his seventh overall national championship, his sixth at Alabama. He now has surpassed Coach Bear Bryant as the number of national championships that an individual coach has earned. And Dieter, I'm going to tell you, that's just quite an accomplishment.
No doubt about it, Boji. I mean, I don't think he had to win this. He didn't have to win last night to be considered, you know, possibly the greatest ever. But this sure probably solidifies that.
He has six at Alabama, is that right?
Well, he has six. Yeah, that's right.
And one at one Baton Rouge. Okay, yep. Right. Okay.
So, yeah, great win.
You know, he's got to be fired up too about it. I was thinking about this morning. He ought to be able now to kind of relax a little bit. You know, that sounds kind of strange, but Saban should be able to get on the sidelines and take that same aura that Bear Bryant had. That, you know, Bryant just didn't get fired up every once in a while, you know, toward the end of his career, because he had it all. He was the king. He was the best.
Well, you know, Saban's got it exactly. Now. And like you said, I agree with you. I mean, you know, he's got that seventh victory. No, I don't think anybody's going to ever beat that. So, you know, he's got it. He can kind of go on and just, you know, still have a great team. Because, I mean, look, all the great players he gets. And the thing I think he's most satisfied about this year is the fact, you know, with the COVID going on and all the talent he has, it's amazing how these guys come together and just play for one.
I mean, one guy gets hurt, though, he's got that talent coming in behind him.
But there's, you know, great running back, great receiver, great quarterback.
Who was the fastest receiver they had at the beginning of the year that got hurt? Number 17,
Jalen Waddle.
Waddle.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now he got in last night. Yeah, he'd been out for several games, and of course he still is limping, but he really wanted to play, and he got out there and got a chance to catch a few balls.
Yeah, caught three for 34 yards, and the very first one he caught though was a dig route coming across the middle, and he kind of pulled up lame at the end. And I thought he's not going to be back in, but next series he was right back in the game.
Yeah, I saw, you know, Mac Jones looked like he started to run the ball on that. When he came out of the pocket, and Waddle came right across, and he just kind of flipped it forward to him.
Yeah,
and
that was cool.
It was pretty cool. I'm thinking though, if he didn't pitch, it looked like there was a big alley right up the middle for him.
he was. But hey,
I don't know if he'd have got very far because he's not a great runner.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if I've got a choice of Mac Jones running the ball with two good legs or Jalen Waddle running with one bad leg, I'm probably still going to pick Waddle.
I would think so too.
But now, guys, you mentioned Saban about taking it easy and relaxing. Listen, guys like that don't take it easy and relax, because they're going to stick with what gave them the success, and that's just the way he's wired, and that's why he's as successful as he is. And go back to Coach Bryant. I remember reading in one of Coach Bryant's books that after they won their first national championship in 1961, and of course back then, you know, you didn't have all of the you know, the 24-hour news cycles and all this kind of stuff. So the players kind of just found out about it in the paper the next day or what have you. Well, Coach Bryant found out from New York, from a buddy of his in New York, that they were indeed the national champion. He went over to Bryant Hall, and I guess it was named Bryant Hall then, but he went over to Bryant Hall. He put up a sign saying, you are the 1961 national champions. What about getting another one next year? That's what makes those guys tick.
That's cool. That's mm-hmm. cool.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I wonder if Alabama, I can't help remember, did Alabama split that with the AP and then the UPI? I wonder if another team was. I think maybe that year they may have kind of shared it with another team.
I don't think in 61 they did. I think that they won it outright in 61. But there were times where they did share, because now you have to remember too that back in the day, the national champions were decided at the end of the regular season. Bowls were exhibitions, and they didn't matter. As a matter of fact, Alabama won the last national championship that was crowned before the bowl games. 1973, they play Notre Dame in the Sugar Bowl. They lose that game 24-23. Alabama had already been awarded the UPI National Championship, and then after the bowl loss, Notre Dame was awarded the AP National Championship.
Yeah, I remember that game. Tom Clements was the quarterback. Of course, Tom played in the CFL for, 12, 13 years.
Yeah.
And I think he threw the pass. It was a third and I don't know what it was.
It was like third and long.
They
yeah.
were backed up, and I think Dave Casper caught the ball.
Robin Weber.
Was it?
It was the only pass.
Wait a minute. You sure? I thought it was Casper.
No, it was not Casper.
Was Casper on that team?
I think he was on that team.
I have to look that up, Bojan.
Yeah, I think he was. But Robin Weber. Yeah. I don't guess any relation to Eddie Weber and
That's
Jake Weber
question.
Here. But he caught the pass, and it was, as I recall, it was the only reception that I know it's the only reception he had that night. It may have been the only reception he had all year. But yeah, his name was Robin Weber.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm surprised you knew that.
Hey,
I thought I had that one.
Well, you know, that's okay. But yeah, you go ahead and pull that up there on the old Google.
Well, I think it looks like Ohio State of all teams was Football Writers Association of America stayed in Alabama was AP, and UPI was coaches national. And if I'm still trying to read this and decipher what happens, we know that ironically in 1957 Auburn had to share with Ohio State the national championship there. Mm-hmm. If I'm reading this information correctly, you know what? I'll tell you something about that 1957 national championship team for Auburn. I believe at the age of 6 years old, I went to that Auburn homecoming game. They had Tommy Lorino playing back then, Jimmy Red Phillips, Lloyd Nix,
yes.
Lloyd Nix was the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Of course, Shug Jordan was the main head coach mm-hmm. and all. But who else? It'd be Jim Jeffries. I think he played on the late Jim Jeffries. Used to be coaching over here at Vestavia Hills.
Bobby Wisden, who was a longtime high school coach in the state of Alabama. Okay. And he was on that team also.
But I remember as a youngster riding around and looking at all the fraternity and sorority. They used them later on as floats, but they'd have them out in the yard all with the crepe paper and all those colorful things. They say, Pat, look at that over there. Mm-hmm. Look, why don't you introduce everybody to this? So you've already done that. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to act like you hadn't done that job. You the man.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that, but I just I did introduce everyone, and again we'll be on every week from now on the back table, and again we'll be covering a lot of different subjects, but obviously right now it's football. We're going to have some special guests, not necessarily today, but in the future we're going to have some special guests, some former Auburn players, some former Alabama players, local politicians and just local celebrities there, which, Pat, you're kind of a local celebrity anyway, right? You know, we've got you.
Well, I'm kind of infamous. More than famous, I'm more infamous over here for the five or six people that know me over here in Vestavia Hills and the Hoover area. And I don't know, the Lord's been good to us. He really has. It's, you know, if I, you know, some people remember me. And I just had somebody else ask me over here at Louis Noto table. I don't know his name, but I know who he is. He said, "Pat, y'all still playing music?" So, you know, and I said, "Well, I said, look, I've got a number of drummers and bass players we call up, and I asked me, well, it pays $150. You want to play this weekend at Bar 31, that kind of thing?" And they got to know at least Louie. That's one song. And My Girl's other song. If we can't play that without rehearsing, we're in trouble. Anyway, what can I say? Ray Reach might be interested in this.
We'll
talk to Ray Reach one day. That'll be good.
We're gonna get Ray over here and visit with us. Ray's just a phenomenal musician.
Known all
over the country. Played with James Taylor and several other people.
Smokey Robinson.
Yeah. And sure, so, matter of fact, he still gets phone calls from some big names saying, "Hey, come play with me."
Let's pause for a moment and talk about the virus just a minute. Ray told me that he lost 31 jobs this year because of the coronavirus. Took well over $10,000 of income for him that that he would normally get, and I don't know. He's still doing okay, but he just a long time musician. Well, went to Minor High School, got his doctorate from I think University of Alabama, playing Steve Samples Jr. and different other musicians all over town, all over Alabama and the country.
All right, going back to that 1961 football season where Alabama was the crown national champions, they were the AP national champions. They were the coaches, which was back then the UPI national champions, and then they were the National Football Foundation champions.
They didn't have to split it then with anybody.
Well, actually, Ohio State ended up being the Football Writers Association of America.
Was that the AP, the Associated Press? No, it was different.
It was the FWAA, and so they were, you know, they awarded a lot of different groups have awarded national championships, you know, over the. Over the last century or whatever.
It's probably Cincinnati Quarterback Club national champions, too, you know.
Man, they very well could have been. But the Football Writers Association was actually a recognized group back then that gave out a national championship trophy. Started back in 1941. And again, these things have kind of gone by the wayside over the years, and pretty much now what you have is you have the college football playoffs, and you really have one recognized national champion. Of course, now Dieter, when you started your career at Auburn, it was still back in the era where two things: number one, you could be the national champion during the regular season, lose your bowl game, you're still national champion. But then also, there were still a lot of different national championships that were awarded back then.
Yeah, you're right. I like the way it is now. I mean, it obviously. What do you think about the idea of having more teams in the college playoff?
Well, you know me from my background coaching and spending a lot of years in the lower divisions at the college level. Listen, I'm all for 16 teams, and I think if you get 16 teams in the playoffs, you're going to accomplish a lot. Number one, you're going to have the same type of excitement that you have with the NCAA basketball tournament, and it's not going to go on just for a couple of weeks. It's going to go on for 4 or 5 weeks.
I think one of the key things, Boji, is the fact you're going to keep these players from opting out.
No doubt,
and that's what's happened right now with even in bowl games and things. You know, I mean, you know, the good players, guys who are going to end up, you know, going to the NFL or CFL or whatever, playing professional football somewhere, you know, they're gonna opt out if they ain't got a chance at a national championship. But if you get more teams involved in it now, you know, you're going to keep them in there and keep them playing.
Right, okay, and we know that Florida played in the SEC championship game. No players opted out of the SEC championship game, but after they lost Alabama, then they opted out of the bowl game.
Exactly.
And not one player from Clemson, not one player from Ohio State, not one player from Alabama, not one player from Notre Dame opted out of the playoffs. So that's a great point right there, Deet. It will keep guys from opting out, which, again, you know, I'm never a big fan of that anyway. But I think what we're headed to, if we could get 16 teams in, I think what we're going to end up having is we're going to have a good playoff, and we're going to have the best teams in the playoffs. And then the other thing is, then the other bowl games can become basically what they were meant to be in the first place, exhibition games. And if somebody opts out, somebody opts out.
I don't know if they're going to go with right now. I mean, I don't know how long it'll take to get to, you know, to get more teams involved in it. Mm-hmm. But I would think, you know, if it's not 16, which is quite a bit, I was thinking more like 8.
Well, and again, to get to 16, you got to get to 8 first. So maybe, you know, listen, it hadn't been that long ago that we would have loved to have had 4 teams in, and now we finally got that. But I think it's got to grow, and I think there's a reason for it to grow because, you know, again, you know, you and I both coached at levels where you know, you could get in the playoffs, and it didn't matter if you were the first seed or the last seed, you had a chance to win the thing,
right,
just like in the basketball tournament. And when you do, and when you have that opportunity to go in and play, to me, that's more of a true national champion than, especially back in the days where people who didn't even see you play all year got to vote on you. And Pat, you'll remember this. You know, one of the biggest, and we'll just say robberies of a national championship, was where Alabama won the national championship in 1965, and then they went undefeated the next year, including their bowl game, 11-0. Notre Dame and Michigan State played to a tie in South Bend, and they were awarded co-national champions.
That's pitiful.
Yeah.
I mean, that was one of the most pitiful deals. I think Bobby Johns played on that 1964. Was All-American. Went to Banks High School here, and I did my student teaching under him and got to talk to and got to know Bobby Johns then. And it was sad. It really was sad.
Yeah. Now, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about last night's game in a little bit more detail, and then we're going to take a look at some of the NFL playoff games from this past week and kind of preview the matchups for this week. And then next week, we'll really get into the nuts and bolts of as we get ready for the conference championships in the NFL. But before we do, Pat, you broadcast high school football. Of course, you played high school football at Jones Valley High School back in the
– I scored 1 point.
Well, you know, his claim to fame was being the leading rusher.
What
did you have, Pat?
I think it was 34 yards total on 16 carries.
Well, that's over 2 yards of carry.
I think that's – There's 34. It's less than 2 yards, just a little bit less than 2 yards.
Mm-hmm. You flunked math too, didn't you?
But we started one drive. I mean, I think it was in the third quarter on about our 30-yard line. We drove all the way down the field, and I carried the ball maybe 4 or 5 times that time. But we went all the way down the field inside the 5-yard line for Hueytown, and I was give out. They ran me 2 or 3 times off a tackle. And they finally gave up on me, and on fourth down, they asked Dieter to run the quarterback sneak, and he jumped into the end zone. We scored. We won that game 14-7. You can look it up.
Well, not to diminish, you know, your playing skills, not to diminish your coaching and teaching career, but really, you're best known in the area for being the voice of high school football in the metro area for 35 years. Started back in, what, 1983? 84. Okay.
Lord's been good to us with that line. You know, I think it's ironic. My number was 35 mm-hmm. at Jones Valley, and we had 35 years. This past fall was the first time we were off. Mm-hmm. We weren't on this. We were on off this past year.
Right. And of course, and you talked about Bobby Johns earlier. Of course, you know him well, and a lot of the high school coaches that you've come in contact over the year, very active in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Really?
Good friend of ours, Jack Baker, is the director of Alabama FCA, and we're going to be having Jack on sometime too.
Well, I tell you what, with stuff that's going on right now, if we want to try to do our FCA message right now, we can do that, Boji, if you'd like. Here's a question from the Billy Graham Files. If salvation is to be with Christ eternally, why does he leave us here? Why are we here and we have to go through this life here on earth? And if the ultimate purpose of salvation is to be with Jesus Christ eternally, why does he leave us here on earth? And for those who follow Jesus as believers in the eternal hope that he gives, our ultimate destination is where Jesus is, heaven. But he's chosen in his sovereignty that we remain on earth for a time to be his light in a dark world. And I think we're kind of in that right now in the country, in a dark world. As I think Biden talked about darkness. And all. So this is a test before we go to eternity in heaven, and at least hopefully most of us anyway. And mm-hmm. I think all three of us, we've got our fingers crossed that we'll cross that river Jordan and enter the heaven. So we want to thank the Lord for blessing us and blessing this broadcast, and may it continue.
Exactly. And
the back table, baby.
The back table. That's exactly
not
right.
Not the Lord's table.
The back table.
But the back table. That's right.
All right, let's get back into the game last night. Of course, we talked about Alabama, and we kind of skipped over Devontae Smith, of course, the Heisman winner. 12 receptions, 215 yards, 3 touchdowns. And Dieter, how would you like to have that cat to throw to back when you were playing?
I tell you what, man, it's you have guys like him and the other receivers they have. Mm-hmm. It's just hard to defend them. Mm-hmm. And then you got Bochy. You got a offensive coordinator, Steve Sarkisian, that mm-hmm. Designs plays that. I mean, these guys are wide open a lot of times, and Mac Jones gets in such a rhythm because there's a lot of those bubble screens, and mm-hmm. then they fake the bubble screen, hit slants downfield. They mm-hmm. have their RPOs, run pass options, and he gets in a good rhythm, and it's hard to defend those guys.
Mac Jones, 36 of 45, 464 yards, 5 touchdowns last night. You know, we talk about we mentioned Devontae Smith's numbers. And you have to realize he did all of that in the first half because he was injured in the first possession of the third quarter, didn't come back to the game.
Yeah, what, did he have a dislocated finger?
Dislocated his finger. Dr. Lyle Kane got that, got it back in. They were having trouble with it, and they finally got it back in. And, of course, he came back out but on the sideline but didn't play any longer.
Let me ask you this. Who was closest on the predicting of the scores between the three of us now?
All right, well, we're going to go. I can pull those up.
I think
up.
Bogey got it.
Did he really?
I think he did.
I can pull. Nobody hit it exactly.
You got the closest to Alabama. I think you said Alabama was going to score 53 or something, and they got 52.
Yeah, okay. Here we go. all right.
I know Pat said his is going. They were going to go into overtime.
Yeah, Pat said they were. I
gave 3 scores out.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I went to sleep.
Yeah, Pat kept changing his score.
I had to change my score because, let me tell you, something was wrong with my TV, and we didn't get the first 3 or 4 plays, and the next thing I saw was the number 8. They were walking him down the tunnel into the mm-hmm. dressing room, and I thought he was the quarterback.
Well, look, you can't change the score in the middle of the game.
Yeah,
now.
You make a prediction before the game, no matter what happens. Okay, all right, my score, my prediction was 53-42 Alabama.
Okay.
And D started out 42-38 Alabama, and then Pat started out 48-42 Alabama
in overtime.
In overtime, however, during the game, okay,
no,
yeah, during the game, he changed it from 48-42 Alabama in overtime to 48-21 Alabama. And then he changed it yet again, 48-28 Alabama.
Well, I think he changed it to the end, 53-24.
I think I had 38 for Ohio State before it's all over with.
Oh, hell. You're disqualified.
Yeah,
though,
I was going to say.
I did some push-ups after I did all that stuff, you know, for punishment.
Yeah. You get one chance at predictions. You don't get to change.
You don't get to go through the game here and start changing them every play.
Yeah, like a horse race and betting on one halfway around the lap.
Yeah, that's like betting on blackjack after all the cards are on the table. You can't do that. And so,
Boji won. I don't know what you won.
I don't. Yeah,
we need to have a prize.
Yeah, we'll get something going. But yeah, I don't. I tell you, I didn't. I felt like that. And I still feel like that if Sermon, the running back, had not gotten hurt, I think Ohio State would have scored more points. I still think Alabama
would
have won.
I think he would have scored 38.
Yeah, I think so, too. I'm with you there. Yes, that's exactly right. All right, let's talk a little bit about the NFL this past weekend. Buffalo won their won their first playoff game, and what was it from 1994? D, was that sound right?
It sounds something like that. Yeah, it's been a while.
Beat Indy 27-24. Now, D, you and I were watching this game together, and Indy is up 10-7, and they get a 4th-and-1 down inside the 5, and inside Buffalo's 5-yard line. And you and I both said when they went for it,
kick the field goal, get the points early on,
and you said that may come back to haunt them. And of course, I did agree with you. I thought it was a coaching blunder. My philosophy always in coaching was in the first half, I don't care if it's safeties, extra points, touchdowns, field goals, whatever. I just want to get as many points as I possibly can.
Yeah, you really can't ask the players, you know, the quarterback and the, you know, they always want to go for it. The offense always wants to go for it. The coach has got to make the right decision, and you know, 3 points there would have, you know, been a difference maker as far as, you know, maybe going to overtime or whatever. They also missed a field goal. The kicker hit the upright, and it didn't go through, and so they missed 3 points there.
That Buffalo win kind of blew that ball a little bit. It didn't come back normally like it does for Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Did you ever play in Buffalo? Did you ever have a chance to play in that weather?
The only chance I had to play in Buffalo was when I came out of the CFL, and I worked out for 5 teams, and Buffalo was one of the teams that wanted to sign me because – Elijah Pitts, ex-Green Bay Packer running back, coached in the NFL a number of years. He was my offensive coordinator in Hamilton my last year there, and he ended up taking a job with Buffalo. And who's the Buffalo?
Marv Levy?
No, not Levy. Levy wasn't there then. But who was the GM that for Buffalo for a long time? Bill Polian.
Yeah, Bill Polian.
Bill Polian was in Winnipeg my last year in Winnipeg, and he was the general manager in Buffalo, they really wanted to sign me, but I ended up signing with the Rams, so I never played in Buffalo.
All right, well, speaking of the Rams, the Rams got a playoff win. Kind of unexpectedly, because Jared Goff was not expected to play, and they beat Seattle 30-20 up in Seattle, and Wolford got hurt, was maybe the third series of the game, and took a shot to the neck, and ended up going to the hospital, and obviously he came back, but wasn't playing, and Goff, who had thumb surgery just a couple of weeks ago, I thought he played pretty dang well.
He did. I didn't expect him to be able to throw the football, you know, with the thumb on, you know, his right hand. But he did do a pretty good job there. And what's surprising how good the Rams defense, it's not surprising how good they are on defense and the pressure that they put on Russell Wilson, because Wilson struggled. I think he was 11 to 27 in the game. And so, you know, the Rams have got a great defense. You know, I know they play Green Bay this week, and it's going to be I think if Aaron Donald is – I think he's got some real problems, so I think that's going to really be a – you know, if he was healthy, I would say the Rams have a good chance up in Green Bay. But I don't – you know, I don't know how that's going to affect his pass rush and with those rib injuries.
And Tampa Bay got by Washington 31-23 game. That was a little bit closer than I expected. I thought that Tom Brady and them would win that game easily. However,
well, some of those were late scores, weren't they?
Yeah. But just the, you know, even the optics of it, I just didn't think that it was. I thought Tampa Bay would win by three touchdowns or what have you. And you well know, three touchdowns in the NFL, that's like six in college. I mean, that's, you know, it's just it's a different game. But anyway, long story short, Tampa Bay moves on. Tom Brady takes the Bucs to the next round of the playoffs. Washington, who wins the division with a 7-9 record, did get in the playoffs. Ron Rivera, who I think you played against Ron, didn't you?
Yeah, he was with the Bears when I was with the Rams. We played him in the championship game.
And battled cancer last year and overcame that. And
how about that quarterback for the Redskins, though?
Henneke.
Out of Richmond? Did he play at Richmond?
Yeah. Or Old Dominion.
Old Dominion. Okay. Yes. I thought he played very, very well.
I did too. I thought he did played a lot of play with a lot of guts and character and everything. And he kind of reminded me of an old school Washington quarterback like Sonny Jurgensen or Billy Kilmer. I mean, you know, not afraid to get in there and stick their nose in and get it dirty and bloodied.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure Sonny was that way. Kilmer was.
Sonny
could throw that football.
Yes, he could. Yeah, I thought Sonny was a tough guy. Well, I'll tell you somebody that was a tough guy. Didn't play for Washington. Joe Capp played for the Vikings. Now he would with that old one bar. He didn't mind sticking his nose in there.
Yep.
All right, moving on to Sunday's games. This past Sunday's games, Baltimore over Tennessee, 20-13. Baltimore, that was kind of a revenge game for them. They felt like that Tennessee disrespected them up in Baltimore a few weeks ago, and the Ravens came back down to Nashville and really stop Derrick Henry. That surprised me.
Well, yeah, Baltimore's got a good football team. I mean, and Lamar Jackson is very, very difficult to defend. I mean, his running ability is just unbelievable for a quarterback. And like you said, Derrick Henry, I think, only had 40 yards on 18 carries. And one of the surprises in the game was a fourth, and I think they had Tennessee decided to punt the ball, and maybe because they weren't getting anything out of the running game. I'm sure that was part of it.
Yep, and after when Vogel pulled the what's the coach for the Titans
from the
Vrabel.
Yeah,
Vrabel.
Right. Yeah,
when he pulled the offense off the field, Derrick Henry was noticeably upset. And they kind of exchanged words all the way back to the bench, and and a lot of people thought Tennessee had a good chance to go real deep into the playoffs this year.
Yeah,
New Orleans gets by Chicago 21-9. Drew Brees and the guys just kind of took care of business. Think Chicago, you know. Not saying they didn't deserve to be in the playoffs, but I think of the National League teams, I thought the weaker of all of them.
Yeah. Well, they lost their last six games.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, they kind of backed in there.
Yeah.
And you know, New Orleans pretty much controlled that game pretty good.
Ellsworth. In the Now, but
bus.
Game. There's three. Then and not or keep.
Type of show. Who's talking?
That's right.
Taylor.
The hand.
you're talking.
We'll have it. Is and we welcome you in to the Back Table podcast, originating today from Bar 31 in Vestavia, 1485 Montgomery Highway. Best meat and veggies over the mountain. I'm Boji Wood, joined by Pat Patrick.
Man, my catfish was wonderful. I enjoyed it. You know.
It was, and also former CFL, NFL quarterback Dieter Brock. We're going to be talking about several subjects over the course of the show.
Mr. Noto. I just want to say hello to Mr. Noto. Lewis Noto, known all over Vestavia Hill. No question about it.
And we're going to be talking a lot of sports, but the Back Table is not only going to be sports as we move forward. We're going to have some musicians on, local politicians, and just kind of get the pulse of what's going on over the mountain here in Birmingham, Alabama.
Okay, well, I tell you what, the food was good. The place is real good. The people are good right here. John and John are in the kitchen. They know how to cook that catfish.
They do. We need to thank Eddie Weber and his son Jake running the place. And I think we all had the catfish for lunch today. And it is, I mean, again, their slogan is best meat and veggies over the mountain. It's kind of hard to argue with that, isn't it?
I think so. You know, of course, they have entertainment down here on the weekends at Razzmatazz Friday and Saturday night. But this is one of the best places to eat lunch that I know of.
All right, let's go ahead, guys, and let's just get right into last night's game, the national championship game between the Alabama Crimson Tide and Ohio State Buckeyes. Alabama 52, Ohio State 24. Nick Saban gets his seventh overall national championship, his sixth at Alabama. He now has surpassed Coach Bear Bryant as the number of national championships that an individual coach has earned. And Dieter, I'm going to tell you, that's just quite an accomplishment.
No doubt about it, Boji. I mean, I don't think he had to win this he didn't have to win last night to be considered, you know, possibly the greatest ever. But this sure probably solidifies that.
He has six at Alabama. Is that right?
Well, he has six. Yeah, that's right.
And one, yeah, one at Baton Rouge. Okay, yep. Right. Okay.
So, yeah, great win.
You know, he's got to be fired up too about it. I was thinking about this morning. He ought to be able now to kind of relax a little bit. You know, that sounds kind of strange, but Saban should be able to get on the sidelines and take that same aura that Bear Bryant had. That, you know, Bryant just didn't get fired up every once in a while. You know, toward the end of his career, because he had it all. He was the king. He was the best.
Well, you know, Saban's got it exactly. Now. And like you said, I agree with you. I mean, you know, he's got that seventh victory. No, I don't think anybody's gonna ever beat that. So, you know, he's got it. He can kind of go on and just, you know, still have a great team. Because I mean, look, all the great players he gets. And the thing I think he's most satisfied about this year is the fact, you know, with the COVID going on and all the talent he has, it's amazing how these guys come together and just play for one.
I mean, one guy gets hurt, though, he's got that talent coming in behind him.
But there's, you know, great running back, great receiver, great quarterback.
Who was the fastest receiver they had at the beginning of the year that got hurt? Number 17,
Jalen Waddle.
Waddle.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now he got in last night. Yeah, he'd been out for several games, and of course he still is limping, but he really wanted to play, and he got out there and got a chance to catch a few balls.
Yeah, caught three for 34 yards, and the very first one he caught though was a dig route coming across the middle, and he kind of pulled up lame at the end. And I thought he's not going to be back in, but next series he was right back in the game.
Yeah, I saw, you know, Mac Jones looked like he started to run the ball on that. When he came out of the pocket, and Waddle came right across, and he just kind of flipped it forward to him.
Yeah,
and
that was cool.
It was pretty cool.
A cool game.
I'm thinking though, if he didn't pitch, it looked like there was a big alley right up the middle for him.
he was. But hey,
I don't know if he'd have got very far because he's not a great runner.
Yeah, I was gonna say if I've got a choice of Mac Jones running the ball with two good legs or Jalen Waddle running with one bad leg, I'm probably still gonna pick Waddle.
I would think so too.
But now, guys, you mentioned Saban about taking it easy and relaxing. Listen, guys like that don't take it easy and relax because they're gonna stick with what gave them the success, and that's just the way he's wired. And that's why he's as successful as he is. And go back to Coach Bryant. I remember reading in one of Coach Bryant's books that after they won their first national championship in 1961, and of course back then, you know, you didn't have all of the you know, the 24-hour news cycles and all this kind of stuff. So the players kind of just found out about it in the paper the next day or what have you. Well, Coach Bryant found out from New York, from a buddy of his in New York, that they were indeed the national champion. He went over to Bryant Hall, and I guess it was named Bryant Hall then, but he went over to Bryant Hall. He put up a sign saying, you are the 1961 national champions. What about getting another one next year? That's what makes those guys tick.
That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I wonder if Alabama, I can't help remember, did Alabama split that with the AP and then the UPI? I wonder if another team was. I think maybe that year they may have kind of shared it with another team.
I don't think in 61 they did. I think that they won it outright in 61. But there were times where they did share, because now you have to remember too that back in the day, the national champions were decided at the end of the regular season. Bowls were exhibitions, and they didn't matter. As a matter of fact, Alabama won the last national championship that was crowned before the bowl games. 1973, they play Notre Dame in the Sugar Bowl. They lose that game 24-23. Alabama had already been awarded the UPI National Championship, and then after the bowl loss, Notre Dame was awarded the AP National Championship.
Yeah, I remember that game. Tom Clements was the quarterback. Of course, Tom played in the CFL for, 12, 13 years.
Yeah.
And I think he threw the pass. It was a third and I don't know what it was.
It was like third and long.
They were backed up, and I think Dave Cashberg caught the ball.
Robin Weber.
Was it?
It was the only pass.
Wait a minute. You sure? I thought it was Casper.
No, it was not Casper.
Was Casper on that team?
I think he was on that team.
I have to look that up, Bogey.
Yeah, I think he was. But Robin Weber. Okay. I don't guess any relation to Eddie Weber and Jay Weber here, but he caught the pass, and it was as I recall, it was the only reception that I know it's the only reception he had that night. It may have been the only reception he had all year, but yeah, his name was Robin Weber.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you knew that.
Hey,
I thought I had that one.
Well, you know, that's okay. But yeah, you go ahead and pull that up there on the old Google.
Well, I think it looks like Ohio State of all teams was the Football Writers Association of America State, and Alabama was AP, and UPI was coaches national. And if I'm still trying to read this and decipher what happens, we know that ironically in 1957 Auburn had to share with Ohio State, the national championship there, mm-hmm. if I'm reading this information correctly. You know what? I'll tell you something about that 1957 national championship team for Auburn. I believe at the age of 6 years old, I went to that Auburn homecoming game. They had Tommy Lorino playing back then, Jimmy Red Phillips, Lloyd Nix was the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Of course, Shug Jordan was the head coach, mm-hmm. and all. But who else? It'd be Jim Jeffries. I think he played on the late Jim Jeffries used to be coaching over here at Vestavia Hills.
Bobby Wisden, who was a longtime high school coach in the state of Alabama, and he was on that team also.
But I remember as a youngster riding around and looking at all the fraternity and sorority. They used them later on as floats, but they'd have them out in the yard, all with the crepe paper and all those colorful things. They say, "Pat, look at that over there." Mm-hmm. Look, why don't you introduce everybody to this? So you've already done that. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to act like you hadn't done that job. You the man.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that, but I just I did introduce everyone, and again we'll be on. Every week from now on the back table, and again we'll be covering a lot of different subjects, but obviously right now it's football. We're going to have some special guests, not necessarily today, but in the future we're going to have some special guests, some former Auburn players, some former Alabama players, local politicians, and just local celebrities there, which, Pat, you're kind of a local celebrity anyway, right? You know, we've got you.
Well, I'm kind of infamous, more than famous. I'm more infamous over here for the five or six people that know me over here in Vestavia Hills and the Hoover area. And I don't know. The Lord's been good to us. He really has. It's, some people remember me. And I just had somebody else ask me over here at the Louis Noto table. Mm-hmm. I don't know his name, but I know who he is. Mm-hmm. He said, "Pat, y'all still playing music?" So. Mm-hmm. You know, and I said, "Well, I said, look, I've got a number of drummers and bass players we call up, and I asked me, well, it pays $150. You want to play this weekend at Bar 31, that mm-hmm. kind of thing?" And they got to know at least Louie. That's one song, and My Girl's the other song. If we can't play that without rehearsing, we're in trouble. Anyway, What can I say? Ray Reach might be interested in this.
Yeah,
we'll talk to Ray Reach one day. That'll
yeah,
be good.
We're gonna get Ray over here and visit with us. Ray's just a phenomenal musician,
known all
over the country. Played with James Taylor and several other people.
Smokey Robinson.
Yeah, and sure so matter of fact, he still gets phone calls from some big names saying, "Hey, come play with me."
Let's pause for a moment and talk about the virus. Just a minute. Ray told me that he lost 31 jobs this year mm-hmm. because of the coronavirus. Took well over $10,000 of income for him that mm-hmm. That he would normally get. And I don't know. He's mm-hmm. he's still doing okay. And but he's a longtime musician. Well known. Went to Minor High School. Got his doctorate from, I think, University of Alabama, down there, playing Steve Samples Jr. and different other musicians all over town, all over Alabama and the country.
All right, going back to that 1961 football season where Alabama was the crown national champions, they were the AP national champions. They were the coaches, which was back then the UPI national champions, and then they were the National Football Foundation champions.
They didn't have to split it then with anybody.
Well, actually, Ohio State ended up being the Football Writers Association of America.
Was that the AP, the Associated Press?
No, it was different. It was the FWAA, and so they were. You know, they awarded a lot of different groups have awarded national championships. You know, over the over the last century or whatever.
It's probably Cincinnati Quarterback Club national champions too. You know,
man, they very well could have been. But the Football Writers Association was actually a recognized group back then that gave out a national championship trophy. Started back in 1941, and again, these things have kind of gone by the wayside over the years, and pretty much now what you have is you have the college football playoffs, and you really have one recognized national champion. Of course, now Dieter, when you started your career at Auburn. It was still back in the era where two things. Number one, you could be the national champion during the regular season, lose your bowl game, you're still national champion. But then also there were still a lot of different national championships that were awarded back then.
Yeah, you're right. I like the way it is now. I mean, it obviously. What do you think about the idea of having more teams in the college playoff?
Well, you know me from my background coaching and spending a lot of years in the lower divisions at the college level. Listen, I'm all for 16 teams, and I think if you get 16 teams in the playoffs, you're going to accomplish a lot. Number one, you're going to have the same type of excitement that you have with the NCAA basketball tournament. And it's not going to go on just for a couple of weeks. It's going to go on for 4 or 5 weeks.
I think one of the key things, Boji, is the fact you're going to keep these players from opting out.
No doubt.
And that's what's happened right now with even in bowl games and things. You know, I mean, you know, the good players, guys who are going to end up, you know, going to the NFL or CFL or whatever, playing professional football somewhere. You know, they're gonna opt out if they ain't got a chance at a national championship. But if you get more teams involved in it now, you know, you're going to keep them in there and keep them playing.
Right, okay, and we know that Florida played in the SEC championship game. No players opted out of the SEC championship game. But after they lost to Alabama, then they opted out of the bowl game.
Exactly.
And not one player from Clemson, not one player from Ohio State, not one player from Alabama, not one player from Notre Dame opted out of the playoffs. So that's a great point right there, Deet. It will keep guys from opting out, which, again, you know, I'm never a big fan of that anyway. But I think what we're headed to, if we could get 16 teams in, I think what we're going to end up having is we're going to have a good playoff, and we're going to have the best teams in the playoffs. And then the other thing is, then the other bowl games can become basically what they were meant to be in the first place, exhibition games. And if somebody opts out, somebody opts out.
I don't know if they're going to go with right now. I mean, I don't know how long it'll take to get to, you know, get more teams involved in it. Mm-hmm. But I would think, you know, if it's not 16, which is quite a bit, I was thinking more like 8.
Well, and again, to get to 16, you got to get to 8 first. So maybe, you know, it hadn't been that long ago that we would have loved to have had 4 teams in, and now we finally got that. But I think it's got to grow, and I think there's a reason for it to grow because, you know, again, you know, you and I both coached at levels where where, you know, you could get in the playoffs, and it didn't matter if you were the first seed or the last seed, you had a chance to win the thing,
right.
Just like in the basketball tournament. And when you do, and when you have that opportunity to go in and play, to me, that's more of a true national champion than, especially back in the days where people who didn't even see you play all year got to vote on you. And Pat, you'll remember this. You know, one of the biggest, and we'll just say robberies of the national championship was where Alabama won the national championship in 1965, and then they went undefeated the next year, including their bowl game 11-0. Notre Dame and Michigan State played to a tie in South Bend, and they were awarded co-national champions.
That's pitiful.
Yeah.
I mean, that was one of the most pitiful deals. I think Bobby Johns played on that 1964. He was All-American, went to Banks High School here, and I did my student teaching under him and got to talk to and got to know Bobby Johns then, and it was sad. It really was sad.
Yeah. Now, we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about last night's game in a little bit more detail, and then we're going to take a look at some of the NFL playoff games from this past week and kind of preview the matchups for this week. And then next week we'll really get into the nuts and bolts of as we get ready for the conference championships in the NFL. But before we do, Pat, you broadcast high school football. Of course, you played high school football at Jones Valley High School back in the
– I scored 1 point.
Well, his claim to fame was being the leading rusher.
What
did you have, Pat?
I think it was 34 yards total on 16 carries.
Well, that's over 2 yards a carry.
I think that's – There's 34 less than 2 yards, just a little bit less than 2 yards.
Mm-hmm. You flunked math too, didn't you?
We started one drive. I mean, I think it was in the third quarter on about our 30-yard line. We drove all the way down the field, and I carried the ball maybe 4 or 5 times that time. But we went all the way down the field inside the 5-yard line for Hueytown, and I was give out. They ran me 2 or 3 times off a tackle. And they finally gave up on me, and on fourth down, they asked Dieter to run the quarterback sneak, and he jumped into the end zone, and we scored. We won that game 14-7. You can look it up.
Well, not to diminish, your playing skills, not to diminish your coaching and teaching career, but really you're best known in the area for being the voice of high school football in the metro area for 35 years. Started back in, 1983?
84.
Okay.
Lord's been good to us for that line. I think it's ironic. My number was 35 at Jones Valley, and we had 35 years. This past fall was the first time we were off. Mm-hmm. We weren't on this. We were on off this past year.
Right. And of course, you talked about Bobby Johns earlier. Of course, you know him well, and a lot of the high school coaches that you've come in contact over the year, very active in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Really,
good friend of ours, Jack Baker, is the director of Alabama FCA, and we're going to be having Jack on sometime too.
Well, I tell you what, with stuff that's going on right now, if we want to try to do our FCA message right now, we can do that, Bogey, if you'd like. Here's a question from the Billy Graham Files. If salvation is to be with Christ eternally, why does he leave us here? Why are we here and we have to go through this life here on earth? And the question is, if the ultimate purpose of salvation is to be with Jesus Christ eternally, why does he leave us here on earth? And for those who follow Jesus as believers in the eternal hope that he gives, our ultimate destination is where Jesus is, heaven. But he's chosen in his sovereignty that we remain on earth for a time to be his light in a dark world. And I think we're kind of in that right now in the country, in a dark world. As I think Biden talked about darkness and all. So this is a test before we go to eternity in heaven. and at least hopefully most of us anyway. And mm-hmm. I think all three of us, we've got our fingers crossed that, mm-hmm. that we'll cross that River Jordan and enter the heavens. So we want to thank the Lord for blessing us and blessing this broadcast, and that may it continue.
Exactly. And
the back table, baby.
The back table. That's exactly
not
right.
Not the Lord's table.
The back table.
But the back table. That's right.
All right, let's get back into the game last night. Of course, we talked about Alabama, and we kind of skipped over Devontae Smith. Of course, the Heisman winner, 12 receptions, 215 yards, 3 touchdowns, and Dieter, how would you have liked to have that cat to throw to back when you were playing?
I'll tell you what, man, you have guys like him and the other receivers they have. Mm-hmm. It's just hard to defend them. Mm-hmm. And then you got Bochy. You got a offensive coordinator, Steve Sarkisian, that mm-hmm. Designs plays that. I mean, these guys are wide open a lot of times. And Mac Jones gets in such a rhythm because there's a lot of those bubble screens, and then mm-hmm. they fake the bubble screen, hit slants downfield. They mm-hmm. have the RPO run pass options, and he gets in a good rhythm, and it's hard to defend those guys.
Mac Jones, 36 of 45, 464 yards, 5 touchdowns last night. You know, we talk about we mentioned Devontae Smith's numbers. And you have to realize he did all of that in the first half because he was injured in the first possession of the third quarter, didn't come back to the game.
Yeah, what, did he have a dislocated finger?
Dislocated his finger. Dr. Lyle Kane got got it back in. They were having trouble with it, and they finally got it back in. And, of course, he came back out but on the sideline.